I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
We've been categorizing these communist revolutions throughout the ages. We've put up a huge series of podcasts called The China Files. Many of you may have seen that. We put up another one earlier this year, The Chronicles of the Revolution. And we're getting all the way up to the cultural Marxists of today. And so tonight, I'm proud to announce that we have signed a deal with a publisher. We are going to be publishing all of this in a new book that will teach us all how to identify the cultural Marxists, how to use their playbook against them, how to crush their revolutions, and we will specifically call them that which they are. Because they reject the human rights of others. They reject the humanity of their oppressed classes. I submit to you that they themselves have become the unhumans.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard to today's very special edition of Human Events Daily. We are from Washington, D.C., but today we will be also be coming to you from Budapest, Hungary. Today is April 26, 2024, Anno Domini. Why is it that in order to fight globalism, to fight the global neo-Marxist left, that we must go to international partners? It's kind of an irony, I understand it, because how can you have a stance against globalism and yet be working with an international alliance of anti-globalists? Because that's the only way you can smash this. Because we face similar threats. And when you can find allies in your fight, you must make alliances with those allies. Whether those alliances be from the United Kingdom, whether they be from Hungary, whether they be from Poland, from Spain, from the Netherlands, from Italy, from Germany, wherever they are, if you are with me, standing with me in the fight against neo-Marxist globalism, then you are my ally. And of course, we're going to be going to other places. We have gone to many places. We've gone to Japan. We've gone to Mexico. Mexico, I know, right? You know, Donald Trump, anti-Mexico. We've gone down to Mexico. Because here's the thing, folks. The same threat we face is the same threat we all face. All of us face this. All of us in every country now. When you're in one of the places, particularly in Europe, in the United States, and in Canada, you are faced with the rise of globalism and the escalation of our world into a conflict that could culminate in World War III. Israel and Iran have bombed each other for the very first time, openly and publicly. Now, fortunately, that did not metastasize into World War III. And yet the question is, are we going to go down the path of peace? Are we going to go down the path of reelecting Donald J. Trump and establishing peaceful deterrence? Or are we going to continue down the path of Joe Biden, Mike Johnson, and so many others that have pushed us further towards the brink of annihilation, total nuclear annihilation? And here's the other piece, folks. While all this is going on, we have cultural Marxism across our institutions, across our bureaucracies, across the military. I certainly saw it when I was in the intelligence community. The dirty little secret is that those people actually want the United States and the West to fall. They want the decline. They want the rise of relativism. They don't want us to achieve greatness and to reach for the stars. They don't want us to be striving to be more than we currently are. They don't want our children to have better lives than us. Why? Because they don't like the color of our skin, because they don't like our gender, because they don't like our heterosexuality. They don't like any of these things. They have decided, out of resentment and petty cruelty, to do everything they can, infiltrate institutions, and to bring us down. Today, I've got an interview with former Prime Minister Liz Truss of the United Kingdom, and I'll also be coming to you with a pre-recorded segment from CPAC Budapest. And I hope that you can see why it is that we're doing this work to achieve these international alliances of anti-globalism. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Far, but I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I just can't hide. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Folks, the world is in flames. Bidenomics, as we know, is a complete and total disaster, but it cannot and will not ruin my day. Do you know why? It's because I start every day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% America, 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, I love this stuff. You guys are going to love it too. Power yourself, power your family, power your business. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/POSO. Use promo code POSO 20% off your first order. We know Mother's Day coming up next month, and it's never too soon to give mom and those close to your heart the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. That's blackoutcoffee.com/POSO. blackoutcoffee.com/POSO. Promo code POSO 20. Very honored to welcome here, first time on Human Events Daily, the former Conservative Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Liz Truss, joins us to tell us all about her new book. Prime Minister, well, we're very honored to have you on today.
Great to be on the show, Jack.
Now, we got to meet very briefly at CPAC. You went and you had a whirlwind tour. Tell me, how was your experience at CPAC this year, and how's your view of the conservative movement in America?
Well, I absolutely loved it. I've never been to CPAC before, and it was brilliant to hear so many conservative people who want to win and who want to fight. Because the fact is, and this is what my book 10 years to Save the West is about, the left have been winning. You know, they've been infiltrating our institutions with woke ideology. We're seeing problems on our borders in both the United States and the United Kingdom. And left-wing ideas have become so fashionable that people in corporations, people in our universities, people even in the government institutions and the bureaucracy, it's the only way they know how to think. And that's why it was great to be at CPAC and hear real conservatives who are prepared to make conservative arguments and help save our countries, because that is the real threat. The left is undermining our way of life.
Well, I'd love to dig into you specifically on that question of how the bureaucracy operates. And in your book, 10 Years to Save the West, now, I'll say that, you know, the administrative state is something that we both face here in the U.S. and in the U.K. I'm more familiar with the administrative state of the United States. I'm a former Navy intelligence officer. I served in the intel community, worked in Washington, D.C. for many years in that capacity, briefing people at the Pentagon. And I could see how intelligence was taken from either the battlefield or the sources of collection and then brought to the Capitol, and then it was massaged for political purposes, so that whoever the appointed political leaders, it seemed, of the agencies or the various political appointees of the government would then go to the president and tell them essentially what they wanted to hear. Now, I admit I'm not as familiar with the administrative state in the UK. However, I will say that I've watched almost every season of Yes Minister.
Well, in Yes Minister, sometimes Sir Humphrey wins and sometimes the Prime Minister wins.
Yes.
In real life, the bureaucracy is winning every time because it's got a lot worse in Britain. And if you think you've got a problem with the administrative state in America, the president gets to appoint 3,000 people into his administration. In Britain, the Prime Minister is only able to appoint 100 people. And those people are advisors, they're not senior people in the organisation. And the problem is that we have given power that used to be in the hands of elected politicians to unelected bureaucrats. And those bureaucrats have been captured by woke ideology, whether it's transgender ideology, whether it's extreme climate change policy. Essentially, they are not following the policies that the public want. And that is a huge problem. And it's created a massive disconnect between what the public wants and what politicians are actually able to deliver, because our hands are tied by the administrative bureaucracy.
Now, in the United States, one of the ways that we've seen the rise of this is through what we see is a joining of the hip of the administrative state, as well as, and we're seeing this across the United States just today as we look at these far-left Gaza camps opening up on university campuses all across the country, seemingly overnight, clearly some kind of coordination going on. I'll have to dig into it some more. I'm sure there's a TikTok hashtag that's driving all of it or something like that, but clearly has some kind of coordination behind it. Wouldn't be happening spontaneously all on its own. But that said, you see this university capture, this academic capture, and that is not driven from the student up. It's actually driven from the faculty down. And I suppose my question to you, Prime Minister, is do you see a similar dynamic in the UK? Because once the academy goes woke, as it were, then the students go woke, and then those students march directly into the bureaucracy, and there you go. The entire institution, it sort of becomes this top-down approach.
You're completely right, and it's become unacceptable now to have conservative views in universities, and anybody with those views ends up getting cancelled, they end up getting excluded, and so people conform and they try and fit in. And what is appalling about the situation is these universities are being funded by the taxpayer. The student loan scheme is being funded by the taxpayer. So normal people across Britain and America are paying for this woke ideology. And what is going on in American universities is open anti-Semitism. And we are paying for that. And that state cannot continue.
And not only that, we're paying for it, but we're also subsidizing the education of those students, or lack of education, because I don't see them really attending their courses or working on their degree work while they're attending these campus camps, these Gaza camps. And yet President Joe Biden here in the U.S. has announced yet another loan deferment, loan excuse program, whereby he's going to come in and wipe the slate clean for these student loans. Of course, means we've seen it will actually happen. He did this the very same program he announced the last time he was running for office. Of course, we're in an election year again, so it doesn't surprise me that he goes to the students and says that I will cancel your debt if you just come in and vote for me. But do you think that this represents, and I'll ask you to comment on U.S. politics a little bit, but it seems to me it represents a split between this idea that he's coming in and going for the student votes, but he's also embracing these extreme positions within his own party.
Well, that's it. I mean, he is moving. Look at Title IX that he's just signed off. The idea that it doesn't, you know, that if you were a girl, you could have male biological people in your school restrooms, in your school locker rooms, and there's nothing you can do about that. And it is because Biden is under huge pressure from the Democrat left That is his activist base. So he's giving in to those people. He's giving in to them on university campuses. He's giving in to them on schools. And they have successfully, over the past 20 years, captured our institutions in the country. And the only way to take them on is to have a conservative fight back and actually defund these institutions. Because at the moment, we are all paying for these people to perpetuate these really damaging ideas. I mean, I believe that if this goes on much longer, our societies will be undermined. And unfortunately, a generation of young people are being brainwashed into thinking this stuff is reality. It's not.
When you look at the civilization that the United States was able to put together, when you look at the achievements of the United Kingdom, it's very clear that those were found through the celebration of achievement, through the discipleship and discipleship of excellence, of greatness, of actually achieving those things and searching for those among the populace, bringing them into the institution, bringing them into the academy. This was the purpose for the academy system in the first place. And this is, of course, what produced the incredible, of course, the Industrial Revolution, all the advancements that we've seen in modernity. But the problem is that we seem to have gone completely away from those values in the name of a new set of values called wokeness. And here in the United States, we're already seeing a competence crisis just a few miles away from where we sit here in Washington, D.C. We had a major bridge on one of the most major ports of the United States destroyed because a ship crashed into it. There's now a criminal investigation of criminal negligence into this. And I can't help but think that our drive towards equality and diversity and wokeness has gotten in the way of the basic running of our societies.
Well, the values that we hold dear, the idea that people should be free to think and speak as they believe, the belief in truth, you know, all of these have been undermined by neo-Marxist thinking. It was people like Foucault, which became fashionable in the 60s and 70s, who essentially said there's no objective reality. Well, there is an objective reality. Men are men and women are women. You know, our civilization, you know, the United Kingdom, the United States, have a proud history. But what these people are trying to do is deny those basic realities and those basic facts. And as you say, undermine everything from, you know, the basis of engineering to the basis of human biology.
We are on with former Prime Minister Liz Truss. The book is 10 Years to Save the West. Is it, Prime Minister, is the book out now?
The book is out now. It's available on...
Okay, the book is out now.
Yeah. It's available on my website, elizabethtruss.com.
ElizabethTruss.com. We're going to be back for another segment. We actually share a publisher in Skyhorse. The reason I ask is because my book is in pre-order right now. I don't want to misspeak. So the book is currently available. So you can go read 10 Years to Save the West to get my book way, way later, because this is the important information that you all need. Be right back with one more segment by Mr. Liz Truss. I want to know the truth, what really went down, so I'm jumping on. It's in a mystery, the hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down, so I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-order in line. All right, folks, got to tell you real quick about today's episode sponsor, My Patriot Supply. We know there was an earthquake that shook the Northeast just a few weeks ago. The attacks in the Middle East that we saw come over the past weekend, we know that most emergencies will come without warning. When the next one comes, you won't have time to pack and prepare. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. Your supplies need to be ready to grab and go right away. Secure these supplies, MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. That's what my own family did. They helped millions of Americans prepare since 2008, and My Patriot Supply are the experts in self-reliance. Their four-week emergency food kit offer over 2,000 calories every day, protected by heavy-duty four-layer packaging. These kits will last you up to 25 years. They're sealed inside rugged-handled buckets. They're made to supply quickly. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Save $50 per kit. They ship fast and free in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. We're speaking now with former Prime Minister Liz Truss. The book is 10 years to save the West. And we've been talking about all the issues and the decline and the things that we're seeing. But let's flip that around a little bit, because there are solutions to this and all of these problems. I always say this to folks. All of the problems are of our own choosing. And if the problems are of our own choosing, then the solutions can be chosen as well. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree. I mean, what we need is we need conservatives who are prepared to fight for conservative ideas. We need people who are prepared to take on the administrative state, which has been holding us back and which has been captured. And we need to stand up to China and aggressive regimes overseas. We know what we need to do. The problem is there are too many people who are prepared to give in to some of these leftist ideas.
Well, and that's really what it is, because you see situations like Iran and Israel have kicked off, Ukraine, Russia kicked off. I feel so many times as though, you know, sit here and look at these liberal governments like Joe Biden, who seem to think that they can placate both sides, or in other cases, they can push for escalation. And how long is it going to take for people to simply wake up and say, these ideas don't work? And this is actually something, just talking electorally in the United States, that there's an interesting situation, because you have a president running against a former president. And so people can remember within, you know, just a couple of years ago, the world was not on the brink of World War III. The economy was doing better pre-COVID. All of these things seem to be humming along, and now they are all in the decline. And so I hope that's something where people can at least take this A-B test and say, this choice gets us this, that choice gets us that. Yes, there may be some mean tweets, and there may be some controversial statements, but you know what? I would take that over World War III any day. I think most people would as well.
So I was in the British cabinet when Donald Trump was leader of the United States,
yes,
and when Joe Biden was leader of the United States, and it felt a lot safer with Donald Trump at the helm, because our enemies were afraid of what he might do. So we didn't see war in Ukraine. We didn't see Israel under attack. We didn't see China threatening Taiwan. And now what we see is weakness at home. We see the economy not doing as well. We see huge levels of inflation. But what we're also seeing is the aggressors overseas are taking advantage of that weakness. And they are invading countries, threatening others. And what they're fundamentally threatening is our way of life here in the West.
Well, and when I look at these types of ways of thinking, but also these power plays that are taking place abroad, I have to remember, so the book that I'm working on is all about this neo-Marxist type of thinking. And people need to understand that the fundamental belief of a neo-Marxist or a cultural Marxist or this new flavor of Marxism, their fundamental belief is not actually equality. It is not actually justice and human rights. In fact, they don't really believe in those things. Private property is certainly a right that they don't believe in. Go ask the Chinese communists what they think about private property. No, what they believe in is actually tearing down Western civilization, tearing down values like Christianity, like the values of the Holy Bible, tearing down the systems of law that have been erected over thousands of years of development. This is their express belief. Why is it that you think that there are so many conservatives that aren't willing to simply call that out?
Well, they think we're still dealing with the old left, who were fighting battles about the economy, you know, unions, all those kind of things. They don't understand that the new left fundamentally hate our countries. They hate the United Kingdom. They hate the United States. They want to undermine our values. And they want us not to succeed. And there are too many conservatives who think that you can appease those people. But you can't compromise with people that believe in terrorism. You can't find an accommodation with somebody that believes a man is a woman and a woman is a man. You know, it simply isn't possible. So we have to take them on and we have to expose them for what they are, which is people that hate our country. And most people in Britain, most people in America love their country. They're patriots. And we have to point out exactly what the left are trying to do.
Well, and it's tough. I suppose I can sympathize or at least try to understand. And this is what you're called to do, is try to understand what's going on. And that people don't want to actually believe that there are folks on the other side that, and I'm not even talking liberals or centrists, moderates, this type of thing. I'm talking about a sliver of individuals that actually want to see Western civilization be brought down. They saw Western hegemony after the fall of the Cold War, and they said, this is a problem. We want Western hegemony to be destroyed. We want it to be to fall by the wayside. We don't like the West being able to tell everyone what they're able to do. Suddenly everyone's a colonizer. Suddenly everyone is responsible for all the ills of the world that have gone on since time immemorial. We're going to bring back every single thing in order specifically to undermine those societies. And I say this because we now live in a situation where you'll find people going around these campuses arguing about things that took place a century ago, 2 centuries ago. Meanwhile, there's no talk whatsoever. And this is why you have folks like Elon Musk who, you know, people have their, you know, different opinions on him. But my belief, and this is just having interacted with him and having read quite a lot of what's written about him, I think he genuinely wants to go to the stars. I think that is genuinely what he is focused on. I think that's the idea, that we should be going to the stars, that we should be seeking actual technological and scientific progress, not using science and technology to try to control our fellow citizens or to try to kind of micromanage society. But it feels as though we're caught in the grip of this ideology, as you say.
And so many of our institutions have been caught in the grip of this ideology. So on the streets of London, we have people brandishing swastikas. We have people protesting in favour of Hamas, which is a terrorist organisation. Now, these values are totally different from the values we hold dear in Britain. And they are trying to undermine our society because they hate Britain. And yet we have a police force that is reluctant to stand up to them because they have been brainwashed with this left-wing ideology, this politically correct ideology. And that is what we need to take on.
Well, and it's you know, looking at some of the things that happen in under this ideology, and we see it here in the United States. We have political prisoners now. We have a gentleman who is potentially going to jail for posting a meme in the 2016 election. We've seen the rise of lawfare. And so many of the times when you reach back into these arguments, you find that the people pushing them don't actually quite believe the arguments that they're for. It's just like the original Marxists of the past, whether it be the Bolsheviks, whether it be Chairman Mao and the Maoists. They don't actually care about the equality. What they care about is locking up patriots and shutting up conservatives and silencing that debate.
At least you've got the First Amendment in the United States that protects free speech. We don't even have that in Britain. So we have in Scotland hate speech laws being introduced that are basically about saying people not being able to say what they believe, not being able to say that they believe in biological sex, not being able to say that they believe in our country. And that is a huge, huge problem.
Well, and this is an incredible situation because here in the United States, we've seen at the state level, we've seen hate speech laws attempt to be put on the books. We've seen at the federal law, we've seen at the federal level, instead of doing laws, what they'll do to try to get around the First Amendment, and they're obsessed with doing this here in the U.S. as well, because what they'll do is they'll say, well, it's not so much that it was hate speech, but they'll use the guise of misinformation or disinformation, or they'll say malinformation. Malinformation is my favorite one because malinformation is true information that happens to be negative for some protected group or something. So you can't say something that's true, even if it is demonstrably true and objectively true, because it goes against something that is in the prevailing narrative of political correctness. I I feel like I'm losing my mind every time I read about one of these things. We've only got about a minute left. Prime Minister Liz Truss, tell us where people can follow you, what you're up to next as you go. I understand you're on something of a tour of the United States and where they can get the book.
Yeah, I'm trying to convert as many people in the United States as possible. My Twitter handle is TrussLiz. My website is elizabethtruss.com. We need to save the West, and I'm doing all I can to build up the conservative movement in the UK. We need to fight against the neo-Marxist there, as well as the neo-Marxist here in the United States.
On that, I couldn't agree more. We're going to be going over to CPAC Budapest here very soon, and there are times where I've spoken in Japan, I've spoken in Mexico, I've gone to all of these various CPACs, and I always tell people that, you know, no matter where I go, I always say the same thing, because we're all facing the same threat. We're all facing the same opponent, the rise of the global neo-Marxist left. Prime Minister Liz Truss, absolutely honored to have
great
you
join us. Great to be on the show.
Wednesday.
Thanks, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. But I got a hankering, yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I Just Can't Hide.
Ladies and gentlemen, Human Events Daily is very excited to bring you to this special edition of Human Events on the ground, CPAC Hungary in Budapest, Hungary.
A CPAC Hungary színpadán, Jack Pozobik.
Good morning and greetings, CPAC Hungary. Greetings, Budapest. Thank you for being here, and greetings to all patriots, greetings to all believers, and of course, greetings to all Christians that are here today. My name is Jack Pasovic, and I welcome you to the most influential international conference standing for freedom and human rights in the world. As I speak to you in this beautiful city of Budapest, I tell you, we stand here today on the precipice of 100 years of victory. We are facing victory. That is why our enemies are terrified of us. They are terrified of you. They are terrified of the speakers here, and they are terrified because they are losing. But outside of Budapest, in places like Brussels and Davos and DC, new assaults against our history, our values, and our very identity in Western society are committed under the cover of darkness. A darkness like the Satan himself who created it has many names: neoliberalism, global communism. We must understand, communism is not an ideology. Communism is a criminal conspiracy, and it is a criminal conspiracy that we will investigate and prosecute, just like all criminal communists that we find wherever we find them. The irony, of course, is that in order to fight global communism, we must form an international alliance of anti-globalists, and that is what we are here today. Because we have, as Ava said just before me, we've waited for too long. We've watched as our schools have turned into incubators of hatred. We've seen that hatred play out in these disgusting Gaza cities across American campuses today. Hatred as well of Christians, of straight people, of white people, of Europeans, of successful people. Hatred of our forefathers, hatred of our history, of those who founded the greatest nations on the face of the earth. Western civilization is the greatest achievement in all of history, and that achievement now is under threat. We've watched as laws were twisted into arbitrary mandates of the political class that are never applied to themselves or to violent criminals. As I stand before you today, and this wasn't even part of my speech, I woke up this morning and I found out that one of my best friends, the head of Turning Point Action, he is a co-host on my show, Thought Crime, that we hold every Thursday. His name is Tyler Boyer. And he was just indicted, as well as 12 others, for being supporters of Donald Trump, for being supporters of conservatism, for being patriots, and fighting back against a crooked election in 2020. And he now faces criminal charges. This is one of my best friends, and not only that, the head of one of the largest ballot operations in the 2024 election. Our enemies know what they are doing. They are systematically targeting us, not with soft power and the smears of the media. We all know about that. We don't care what the media calls us anymore, what dirty words they use. We've grown beyond it. So all they have left is the naked power of the state in Brussels, in places that they control. And I'll tell you one thing. I am not going to quit. I will never surrender. We will never surrender Western civilization. We will never stop fighting for our beliefs, for our ideals. We will never surrender for our Christian values and our faith. It doesn't matter what you do to us. It doesn't matter what you charge us. We will never quit and we will never be silenced. Because for every single one of us that you silence, that you arrest, that you indict, you will create 100 more, and we will be there on the streets. We will be there in front of your houses if we have to, because we will never quit this fight. And you know, they want you to think that the West is dead. They want you to think that all of this is over, but I will tell you something, like Christ himself, the West will not stay dead. Tradition is not the worship of ashes. Tradition is the preservation of fire. And the spark of tradition of our Western traditions resides waiting in the hearts of the people. I truly believe it is in the hearts of all the people. And look, we look at some of the allies that have come and joined us in this fight. People like J.K. Rowling, people like Bill Ackman, people even like Elon Musk, that the socialists in Brazil are now trying to take down. I say to one thing, not only will we support Elon Musk, but I know everyone in this room agrees, Brazil will be liberated. We will liberate the people of Brazil from the socialists and the communists that have taken over that great nation. We will tell the truth and we will support truth tellers like Julian Assange and the J6ers and so many others. And ladies and gentlemen, if we fight for the West, if we fight for our values, I tell you, we will be victorious because we are inevitable and they can sense it. They can sense that our victory is inevitable. We must not be afraid. We must forget cowardice. We must forget all of it. We must not be afraid to call out the communist for what he is, unhuman. Cultural Marxism and the neo-Bolsheviks seek to tear away the human rights of all those around them. I will not let that stand. They seek to destroy civilization. They are against humanity itself. We must defend humanity. We must defend the civilizations that our forefathers built. This is how we do it, and we will learn from those who went before us in these fights, fighting the communists wherever they are, whether it be the Bolsheviks in Russia, whether it be the Rojos in the Spanish Civil War, where the brave Spaniards stood up and saved their country from communism in the 1930s. We are talking about Pilsudski in Poland, when the brave Poles stopped the Red Army from crossing the Vistula, the miracle of the Vistula, and defeated the Red Army at the Battle of Warsaw. People like Chiang Kai-shek who fought that fight, people like Piotr Rangel, people like Joseph McCarthy in America. The heroes of anti-communism are the heroes of humanity. And I will leave with this. The single greatest blow that we can strike to the global left will come in 6 months' time in the United States of America, where we will send the greatest president in modern American history back to the White House to finish the job that he started in 2016 when we reelect Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. God bless Hungary. God bless Viktor Orban. God bless Western civilization. Thank you.
But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I Just Can't Hide.
Folks, we're here on the ground at CPAC Hungary in Budapest, Hungary.
When you look at what journalists have become today, not just in Hungary, but across Europe, from Brussels to New York to Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, journalism has become a trade that is completely debased. It has been become completely dishonorable. They spread lies, they spread anger, they spread misinformation while they accuse people like myself, people like the government of Hungary, people like President Trump, people like anyone else, Elon Musk. Anyone who's out there telling the truth, they will accuse you of doing that which they are doing themselves every day.
You know, obviously, we know that narrative that is being pushed, as a matter of fact, the virus, as it's spreading, is also carrying a narrative. We've seen so many elements of this, actually. They are trying to depict, identify, and define issues by very certain terms. As we've seen, colors. Black is white, white is black, but certainly corruption, obviously, is not corruption.
They call corruption democracy.
That's right. But, you know, my podcast, we started my podcast, actually, with that intention that instead of having those filters, actually, which obviously these poisonous virus-spreading media is using, to get rid of it and to talk basically face-to-face to the people. This is the effort, actually, I believe you are working on. We have a proverb, or rather the slogan for the bold truth, which we, I believe, the Hungarian politicians, including the prime minister, has been sticking to, and that is, we always mean what we say, and we always say what we mean. And this is one key element, actually, when trying to formulate anti-virus and anti-narrative of our own, and that is a conservative one.
What they're attempting to do through wokeness, and when I call it a reformation of reality, it is a new type of revolution, and it is a revolution where they are seeking to redistribute capital. Redistribution of capital. Where have we heard that phrase before? Where have we all heard that phrase before? But in this case, it is not necessarily the redistribution of financial capital. To be sure, there is a financial element to it. But what they truly seek to redistribute is the redistribution of social and political capital. They seek to redistribute social status, social station, social truths in these ideas that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. They will believe that if you do not have the correct percentage of diversity in your organization, in your club, in your movie, in your TV show, then you have fallen afoul of this unwritten rule. They'll never tell you what the correct percentage of diversity is, but you must attain it, or else you will fall afoul of these commissions and bureaus and entities which enforce these unwritten new laws. And what they've done is they've sought to impose a new form of law that is unwritten, it is undiscussed, it is unconstituted, and they are trying to use this to warp all of reality into their twisted version of how things should truly be. And essentially, it comes down to this. And I mentioned before about how the redistribution of capital is something that is a Marxist belief. What we are seeing is a form of neo-Marxism because it seeks to redistribute cultural capital. What they are attempting to do is to punish you for being successful. They are trying to punish you for seeking excellence. They are trying to punish you because your ancestors built glorious cities like this one here in Budapest, like because your ancestors built the systems of law and justice and order that have contributed so much to the development of our societies, to the development of our way of life for so many years, they seek to subvert all of it because in their view, the existing social order itself is the enemy. That is what they are trying to destroy. They are trying to upend all of society in order to achieve their ends. Their ends, of course, which will never be seen. This is why last year when I attended Davos, Klaus Schwab had his World Economic Forum police came and detained my film crew, came after us, tried to take our passports, tried to take our cameras, tried to take our footage. We refused, and we were eventually let go. They will do anything they can, whether it be the Commission, the World Economic Forum, WHO, these various institutions, they're all seeking the same thing at the end. It is a redistribution of political and social capital, because at the end of the day, they do not want you to attain and achieve your own individual freedom. They do not want you to have the nuclear family anymore. This is a huge part of it. Even when we know the attack on the nuclear family is so important, because the nuclear family is the oldest institution on planet Earth itself. We know that the nuclear family has existed for 100,000 years. We have archaeological evidence. Father, mother, children. This is the oldest institution. It predates Christianity. It predates, as far as we know, religion itself. Because they are seeking to upend this, they are seeking to upend reality and truth itself.
Many are puzzled by the fact, as they say, an unexpected help of narrative, came from an unexpected place, they claim, I mean the liberal side, during the three-day visit of Pope Francis here in Hungary. Because very obviously he's been talking about, he has given six speeches, one of the most important one actually in the Carmelita, which is an old religious place actually in the castle. He was talking about the traditional family, he was talking about the traditional values and all those very natural elements of our human existence, including differences in attitude, in personality, in opinion, and so on, which they try to get rid of. And I believe if you wanted to have a stronger supporting narrative coming from very obviously a religious, but not rule of law, but rule of nature, law of nature perspective, you should listen and you should read the Pope's speech. Do you think, how can we develop the effort actually of this currency war, in which narrative is a very heavy element in the currency?
Well, everything that we are seeing right now is a function of information warfare. This is, in the West, this is the new form of warfare that we are seeing, not on the battlefield of streets and farms and villages, but in a battlefield that is being waged every single day on little pieces of glass that we carry in our pockets and hold in our hands. That is where the information war is being fought. And the only thing that we can do is fight back with truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay a shroud.